This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Cedarside. Cedarside's original 100% organic insect spray kills bed bugs, mosquitoes, fleas, ticks, mites, scorpions, roaches, and more, but is completely safe for your home, pets, and family. Go to cedarside.com, use coupon code Hoffman at checkout for free shipping, or call 800-842-1464 and mention you heard it here.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We have lots to talk about this week, so let's get going. 888-302-3684 is our number. And among the stories we'll tackle, well, next hour we're going to talk about one of the big stories of the week, which is a full-scale onslaught on natural medicine in the person of Mehmet Oz. Sack the Quack was the headline of New York's Daily News. I was walking down the street, admittedly, kind of an eye-catching headline, and we'll get into that story a little later. 888-302-3684, plus your phone calls, of course. I want to start the program by talking about exercise, and there's a great article in this week's New York Times about The Right Dose of Exercise for a Longer Life by Gretchen Reynolds. She's a New York Times reporter who's written a couple of good books about exercise. That seems to be a focus for her journalistic investigations. And she describes what is called the Goldilocks effect with exercise. You know, Goldilocks and the Three Bears, porridge was too hot, too cold, just right. Or, you know, the chair was just you know, too small, too big, just right. When it comes to exercise, there may be a Goldilocks effect. There may be a threshold below which you don't garner the benefits of exercise, but maybe very, very high-intensity exercise, such as some people pursue, may not accrue additional benefits and may even be harmful. So what do the studies have to say? She summarizes a couple of big research projects in this article in the Times. The studies found that the ideal dose of exercise for a long life is a bit more than many of us currently believe we should get, but less than many of us might expect. So it's not beyond your capacity to get a life-sustaining and health-promoting level of exercise. The studies also found that, contrary to what some recent studies have suggested, is that prolonged or intense exercise is unlikely to be harmful and could actually add years to people's lives, but not that much. So you can knock yourself out and you'll get some enjoyment and you'll feel physically fit and you might look really good, but ultimately it may add trivial amounts of additional longevity to your life deck. So one big study, 661,000 adults were looked at, most of them middle-aged, and they followed them for 14 years. And they had various amounts of exercise. They found that, unsurprisingly, the people who did not exercise at all were at the highest risk of early death. But even those who exercised a little, not meeting the current government recommendations for exercise, but just doing something, lowered their risk of premature death by a significant 20%. And those who met the guidelines precisely, what are the guidelines? Complete 150 minutes per week of moderate exercise. That doesn't mean you have to be doing a half marathon, but, you know, just engaged in brisk walking, vigorous yard work, you know, working on an elliptical or stationary bicycle at moderate intensity. 150 minutes per week. Let's do the math there. That's about 20 minutes a day if you do it 7 days a week, or say 30 minutes 5 days a week. They enjoyed greater longevity benefits and, check this out, 31% less risk of dying during the 14-year period compared with those who never exercised. So that's the sort of the current recommendation for exercise, 150 minutes per week. But what the sweet spot was for people who tripled the recommended level of exercise. That's working out moderately, mostly by walking, for, check this out, 450 minutes per week. That's a lot. That's more than an hour a day. Those people were 39% less likely to die prematurely than people who never exercised. But still, you know, just one-third that amount of exercise, it's 31%. So 31 jumps to 39 when you triple the amount of exercise. So, you know, got to make a personal lifestyle decision. You want to allocate that much time to exercising. Is it right for you? And exercise, you know, like many vitamins and drugs, should carry a package insert that should read, results may vary. Okay, because for some people, they can do it. For some other people, they pursue unrealistic exercise goals, and then they end up in the sports medicine doctor's office with whatever, you know, plantar fasciitis or bum knees or bad backs, because they're going for the glory that may attain for them just a little bit of a mortality advantage. What they found was that there were a few individuals who engaged in 10 times or more the recommended exercise dose. That would be 1,500 minutes per week. That's a lot of exercise. That'd be like somebody training for an Ironman triathlon. They gained about the same reduction in death risk as people who simply met the guidelines. They did not gain significantly more health bang for all of those additional hours spent sweating. But also, the reassuring news is that they also did not increase their risk of dying young. They weren't crapping out. So those who spent up to 30% of their weekly exercise time in vigorous activities, that's ramping it up a little bit, were 9% less likely to die prematurely than those who exercised for the same amount of time but always moderately. So a reasonable exercise recommendation would be to, you know, at least exercise 150 minutes per week, but allocate a little bit of that time to vigorous exercise. Break a sweat. Do something that makes you out of breath. That's the take-home message of these big studies. And again, I have to say, it's highly personalized. This is just aggregate data looking at thousands of individuals, and you are your own person, not a mere statistic. So go for it. Incidentally, a recent article shows that the training for doctors in the field of exercise in medical school is negligible, virtually non-existent. It's abysmal. It's even worse than the amount of training that doctors get in the field of nutrition, which is subpar. But in terms of exercise, delivering exercise recommendations or sharing the facts about exercise with their patients, other than saying, oh, you need to exercise more, the training is virtually non-existent. 888-302-3684 is their number. Let's talk to Linda in Hartford, Connecticut. How you doing, Linda?
Hi, Doctor. I'm fine, and I hope you're doing well, too, on this beautiful day today.
Yes, it's a lovely day. Spring has finally arrived. We can put the snow plows away.
Oh, my God, finally. My snow finally disappeared, I think, earlier this week. It's been awful here.
Yeah.
I'm calling about my boyfriend who is facing adult circumcision in a couple of weeks, and it's because of a urinary tract infection, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, and using maybe too much and the wrong antibiotic determined by a second MD.
It created a complication whereby he has difficulty urinating or he had damage to his the external structures of his penis from the antibiotic?
It's the foreskin that was affected.
Yeah.
And it's difficult now to retract. That.
Sure. Okay, so there's actually a medical name for this. You know, for some people, this sounds like an icky subject and a weird subject, but it's really not. It's a very common syndrome in uncircumcised men. By the way, you know, I think the statistic is like 60-70% of men in the United States are circumcised these days. It's a pretty common practice, even for not for religious reasons. But, you know, a significant percentage of men are not circumcised. And for those men, they're at risk of something called phimosis, which is P-H-I-M-O-S-I-S. I guess if they give it a medical name, it must be fairly common. And that's a condition where the foreskin gets inflamed. It becomes difficult to retract. That creates pain or difficulty on intercourse. It creates also issues with hygiene. Studies show that, you know, from a health standpoint, you know, circumcision is kind of controversial. There's some people who are really anti-circumcision. They say it's barbaric. We're inflicting pain on young boys who have no say in the matter. It traumatizes them, even though, you know, they're not conscious entities at, you know, the early age where they get their circumcision. But who knows what that does to them psychically. And it reduces sexual pleasure. That's one of the, also the contentions there. However, other studies suggest that there's no long-term psychological or sexual damage that occurs to men because of circumcision. Also, there is a slight reduction in the risk of male cervical, men don't have cervices, male HPV virus and venereal warts, and also the risk of an unusual type of cancer, much less common than cervical cancer, but it does occur mostly in men who are uncircumcised, which is cancer of the penis, which can occur because of the HPV virus getting in there. So, and there's also some suggestion there's decreased risk of AIDS transmission if you're circumcised, and there's certainly decreased risk of various types of external infections, particularly yeast infections that are called balanitis, which is an infection of the foreskin. So what's the concern? What's the question?
Okay, the question, he's 77 and well past a lot of these issues that you discussed. I mean, he's never had any problems along those lines. But the concern is, he's very concerned, obviously, and concerned about, you know, caring for the area afterwards and the possibility of infection. And I'm wondering, I guess he's going to get some kind of anti-infection product to apply. Is there something else? Is there something internally?
Well, yeah, you know,
that's what I want to talk about.
Yeah, I'm not sure that there is anything in particular externally, I mean internally, to like a vitamin that helps heal that, because it's like any type of surgery, you know, like you may require basic level of certain critical nutrients like zinc, vitamin C, and so on, vitamin E to heal properly. But he should be fine. He should follow the doctor's directions. And I wouldn't apply anything strange, you know, herbal concoctions or anything like that to the area, because there's a chance that it might create more inflammation rather than less. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine. We wait your phone calls, 888-302-3684.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System, a complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh. Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. For years, you've relied on me to tell you about the latest and most effective natural products on the market. Leading the organic pest control industry, Cedarside has been creating natural solutions to insect infestations for nearly 20 years. Cedarside Original uses the natural power of cedar oil to kill and repel insects while remaining non-toxic for your family, pets, and the environment. This 100% organic insect spray from Cedarside.com is lab and real-world tested to kill bed bugs, mosquitoes, fleas, ticks, mites, scorpions, roaches, and more. Order some today. Go to Cedarside.com and use coupon code Hoffman at checkout for free shipping, or call 800-842-1464 and mention my name, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. The only pest control you'll ever need. Use Mother Nature to fight Mother Nature. Go online to Cedarside.com or call now, 800-842-1464. Cedarside Original, for people, pets, and premises. Cedarside.com has the safe and effective pest control products you need for your family, pets, home, and yard.
DrHoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. And, you know, this week we got a lot of hits on Facebook and on Twitter with a new article that we published in our weekly newsletter, the Intelligent Medicine Newsletter, entitled 13 Tests Your Doctor Is Not Likely to Offer, But You Should Ask For Anyway. So check it out, please. Go to drhoffman.com. And we also did a couple of great podcasts. It turns out that our theme this week was natural treatment for cancer. We had a couple of great guests, oncologist Dr. Mitchell Gaynor and naturopathic oncologist Lise Alschuler, two dynamite podcasts. You can check them out at drhoffman.com. Okay, before we get back to our phone calls, this item, it was tax day this week, and a lot of people file on time. Yeah, some people file. I get an extension. I don't really experience grief on April 15th, but lots of people write big checks to the federal government. And so it's interesting to actually check out what part of your tax bill goes to which activities that the federal government expends money on. And you might say, well, it's probably the military. It's probably the military, right? That would be your answer. Well, they actually published this year's results, actually based on 2014 statistics. And what they found was that while in 2010, the national defense budget required 26.3% of your tax bill. 26.3%, just a quarter of it, right out, goes directly to the military. By 2014, this figure had fallen to 24%. However, the amount allocated to healthcare is up 22% since 2012. It exceeds the amount that goes to the military. It is now trending upward. The latest, 27% of your tax bill goes directly to the healthcare of Americans. So you think, everybody, let's get free healthcare. It's free. No, 27% of your tax bill goes to it. Okay, you know the Randy Newman song, Short People? Well, short people have another problem. Short people's genes may confer higher risk of heart disease. Researchers have now verified that stature plays a role in cardiovascular risk. The risk of coronary heart artery disease rose 13.5% for each 2-inch decrease in height. And what they found is that the genes that govern your height are also associated with regulating LDL, or bad cholesterol, and triglycerides. So this compounds the issues that, shall we say, vertically challenged individuals experience in life. So it suggests that if you're short, you should be more rigorous about your lifestyle and control your risk factors so you do not succumb to premature cardiovascular disease. All right, 888-302-3684. We got several callers, and coming up, we'll also have a very interesting interview about the subject of inflammation, a common denominator for a wide variety of diseases. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Beetroot juice is used by Olympic athletes for its stamina-boosting effects. Clinical studies proved 2 glasses of beetroot juice per day could increase stamina by 16%. Super Beets is the easiest way to get these natural benefits. I feel confident offering this to you because I take Super Beets every day. It's my new favorite product. I can feel the energy it gives me within 20 minutes, and I want you to feel it too. Call 800-738-2198 or go to intelligentbeets.com. 800-738-2198 or intelligentbeets.com. Get a 30-day supply free. It comes with your first order and is backed by a money-back guarantee. Also receive a free book, Beat the Odds, and free shipping on your entire order. You'll love the results, guaranteed, or your money back. Call 800-738-2198 or go to intelligentbeets.com. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotics provide proper intestinal balance, which goes way beyond optimizing digestion. It has a profound impact on virtually every system of the body. I'm an early adopter of Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. I personally take them every day, and I've been recommending them to my patients for over 10 years. I've long extolled the benefits of probiotics. A frequent focus of my health programs and wellness articles is the importance of the gut to overall health. I believe in Dr. O'Hara's because they combine a wide spectrum of beneficial bacteria with prebiotics that help the good bacteria establish a foothold in your GI tract. They're easy to take, well-tolerated, and convenient. They don't need refrigeration. Dr. Hira takes the centuries-long Japanese tradition of creating expert probiotic foods to the next level. They're the next generation of probiotics. Dr. Hira's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide. Intelligent Medicine is brought to you in part by Cedarside, 100% organic pest control. Safe for people, pets, and premises. Cedarside.com.
Wellness is just a click away. Go to drhoffman.com.
Now I hear you. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Let's take a call now from Roz, who's in Brooklyn, New York. How you doing?
Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure, Roz. Thanks for calling.
I was curious about pregnenolone.
Pregnenolone, yeah.
Yeah. I took a blood test and it said I had minus 5.
Minus 5?
Yes.
You can't
five,
have a you,
five
you can't,
was going with a minus not next to it. Going towards lower than 5, let's put it that way.
Oh, yeah, that's not a minus. That's a
like a, little,
a care, which is less than 5. In other words, you have low levels of pregnenolone.
Right.
Okay, and so how you feeling? You feeling okay?
I feel I'm tired a lot of times like that.
Yeah. Okay, so here's the deal on pregnenolone. Some holistic doctors are checking for pregnenolone because pregnenolone is considered the mother hormone. It's sort of like in that pathway of synthesis from cholesterol, which is interesting. Cholesterol is actually the building block for a lot of these steroid hormones like progesterone and DHEA and ultimately a wide variety of hormones that the body synthesizes. And so it is suggested that some people take pregnenolone. And pregnenolone is available. It's legal. It's over-the-counter. It doesn't need to be prescribed, much like DHEA. But it's actually a little closer to the beginning of the pathway than DHEA. DHEA is further along down the pathway. And there's a little bit of research on pregnenolone, which shows that pregnenolone enhances brain power, that it may protect against cognitive decline. And so some doctors are using pregnenolone either as a topical cream or as an oral pill to promote brain function, to stave off cognitive aging and to give patients a little more oomph. I'm looking at all the data on pregnenolone, but I don't really have a good handle on it. I feel that there needs to be more research on pregnenolone because when you give pregnenolone, sometimes you can create downstream issues. You can create more of certain other hormones. You don't know precisely where it's going to go. Is it going to go towards production of DHEA? Is it going to go towards production of progesterone? Where is it, you know, going to end up? And as to the cognitive benefits, some people, you know, subjectively, they feel pretty good when they take pregnenolone, so that's good. The fact that you have a low pregnenolone hints to me that you may have low levels of hormones altogether. But I would concentrate more on your DHEA because I think DHEA is a little more research. I think it's a little more reliable. Personally, I think it's safer and easy to regulate. I would. Have you had your DHEA checked?
Because yes, 143.
And that's okay. But is it? Yeah, I don't know if you have the right DHEA because DHEA sulfate, the regular DHEA.
DHEA sulfate.
That seems to be an okay level. So you know, your doctor may want to prescribe a little pregnenolone, maybe 25 milligrams, and see how you feel. See if you know if it helps your memory, your focus, your energy. That may be an appropriate treatment. It's the parent hormone of the neurosteroid family, and it gives rise to a variety of hormones. But I have to say, I think the research is a little limited on it, and I'd like to see more science on the safety and effectiveness and what doses work best for patients who have low pregnenolone. That's my take on it. Let's talk to Maria in Connecticut. How you doing?
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. How are you?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
What you just said about heights, one more bad thing about my height because I'm so short.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah, well, you know.
I have a valve stenosis, but I don't think that has to be done with the height, right?
You have valvular stenosis. You have of the aortic valve of the heart. Is that what you're talking about?
Aortic valve stenosis.
Yeah. That's pretty common. People age, they get a little narrowing of this valve. Are you short of breath? Are you having difficulty climbing stairs, things like that?
Yes, and I'm taking medication, but I'm thinking, is that to do with the height too? No.
No, probably not.
I'm before 9, it couldn't be any shorter than that.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes that has to do with factors when you're growing up, you know, inadequate levels of vitamin D. My yes. grandfather, who was born in Poland, came to the United States, like in the 1940s, yes. Had a tough childhood. He had rickets. He was like 5'1". But nonetheless, here's the good news. He lived to be 101. So maybe a little deprivation early in life can stunt your growth. But ultimately, maybe the deprivation can fend off the degenerative diseases that we get if we get too much food early in life and grow too fast. You know, here's another flip side to that is that while taller people have a lower risk of cardiovascular disease, super tall people like basketball players, they often die young because of the circulatory demands of being 7 feet tall. And there is a slightly higher risk of cancer. Why that might be? Well, it might be that cells that replicate rapidly and promote a lot of rapid growth ultimately can go awry and can increase your risk of cancer. So that's an interesting observation. You told our call screener you read our newsletter.
Yes, and I have a comment about your last one.
Yeah.
I have a new doctor after mine retired 15 years I was with her. And I went to the pre-op for my hip replacement that I talked to you about last week.
Right.
And I really, it's exactly what you said in your newsletter. I asked her about some of the tests that most of them were the ones you have on your newsletter, and
right.
said, "No, this is not gonna."
Exactly. Let me comment on that briefly, because the article that I wrote is entitled "13 Tests Your Doctor Is Not Likely to Offer, But You Should Ask for Anyway." You know, I think it's a terrible situation because these are important tests. They tell you a lot about your current status and disease risk. And you should read the article because I don't want to summarize it here. It's there to be read at drhoffman.com. But the situation is such that I had a patient who even asked for a hemoglobin A1C from her doctor, which is a measure of blood sugar over time. And the doctor said, you don't need that test. And the patient said, well, why not? I want to know if I'm at risk for diabetes. And the doctor said, well, that test is only authorized if you have diabetes. Isn't that dumb? You have to wait till you have full-blown diabetes to take a test, which is going to tell you, which if you took earlier, could help you fend off diabetes. It's an absurd situation, and I pointed out in that article. I thank you for that call, and when we return, we're going to talk to Jim LaValle. He's an expert on inflammation, and he's going to provide us with some insight into the causes and treatments of inflammation. It's the common denominator of a wide variety of diseases that afflict us these days. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Why Kyolic? Well, all the numbers add up for your health. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is the number one best-selling odorless garlic supplement for heart health available on the market today. For over 40 years, Kyolic has been the leading garlic supplement in America. Kyolic is 50 times richer than raw garlic in active beneficial compounds. Kyolic is organically grown and aged for 20 months to enhance its nutritional value, creating beneficial compounds not found in fresh or powdered garlic, but only in aged garlic extract from our farms in California. For maximum purity. Over 750 scientific studies at major universities such as Brown, Cornell, and UCLA prove that Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is working to enhance your body's immune function, protect your cells from free radical damage, and reduce the widest range of cardiovascular risk factors. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere. Call today at 1-800-421-2998 for your free sample of Kyolic.
For more intelligent medicine, download our free podcast at drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. And now for something completely different, because inflammation is the final common pathway for a wide variety of diseases that afflict us and ultimately kill us. And we've got an expert on the line. He's Jim LaValle, a nationally recognized educator, clinician, author, and industry consultant. He's founder and chairman of Metabolic Code Enterprises and the Progressive Medical California Clinic. He's been a previous guest here on Intelligent Medicine, so we're having him back on. He's also written a book, Your Blood Never Lies, which is a great book. We interviewed him about that a while ago. And you can check him out at jimlaval.com or metaboliccode.com. So, Jim, it's a pleasure having you back on Intelligent Medicine. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's great to be on, always.
And incidentally, he is a registered pharmacist as well as a certified clinical nutritionist. So inflammation, what's the deal with inflammation? Why should we know more about it?
Well, you know, I think people think about inflammation and they go, well, you know, my ankle doesn't hurt, my hips don't hurt, so I don't have inflammation. The problem is the kind of inflammation that people have to become aware of is the silent inflammation that leads to damaging your tissues, damaging your arteries, leading to laying down plaque formation in your arteries, causing you to destroy neurons in your brain, leading to Alzheimer's, dementia, causing you to damage the kidneys and lead to things like chronic kidney disease. And so these are big moving parts that really disrupt our quality of life, obviously. And I think, you know, people don't realize there's a lot of lifestyle factors. And, you know, hey, geez, inflammation, what is it? Well, our body's supposed to have inflammation. The problem is when we have poor nutrient status and we don't exercise either enough or sometimes we exercise too much, that actually can cause problems as well. And then you would add to it, you know, genetics and environment and, you know, what type of drug therapies am I on? It starts to become clear you have to monitor, do I have signals of inflammation in my body or not? Because one thing's for sure, the more inflamed you are, the more you're risk to lead yourself towards a chronic illness.
So how might someone become aware that they're at risk for inflammation and its consequences?
You know, I got to tell you, one of the most basic things is get your blood sugar measured. I went around and talked. It was Diabetes Awareness Week, National Diabetes Awareness Week 2 weeks ago. Went around the country, did a bunch of TV on it. And you know what I found is a lot of people just don't know what their blood sugars are. Even healthcare professionals, when I go and lecture them, I ask, who knows their blood sugars? Most of the time, it's about 20% of people. So, you know, get your blood sugar, you know, figure out what it is fasting. If you do one hour after you eat, if your blood sugar is over 140, you probably got a problem. And when I wrote the book, Your Blood Never Lies, it was because, you know what, when your blood sugars get up over 90, you're starting to create damage. Now, there's other things like homocysteine is another value in your blood that could tell you you've got an inflammatory process. Uric acid is another important one. And so there's a few big markers like that that can tell you you're literally damaging the DNA of your cells. And I think that's important people understand. You can monitor it. You can create changes with lifestyle, diet, the use of nutrients, and mind-body behaviors. And you can really influence what your future health is going to be, but you got to start to understand I have to take ownership of these processes.
Talk to us about C-reactive protein, or better yet, highly sensitive or cardio-C-reactive protein, because I know it plays a role in your book, Your Blood Never Lies, and I actually included among the 13 tests your doctor's not likely to offer, but you should ask for anyway. It's a pretty important test, isn't it?
Oh, I mean, C-reactive protein, especially the high-sensitivity one, as you mentioned, that's going to be the bellwether as to how badly you're plaque in your arteries. You know, so basically anything over one, in my opinion, means you got some problems going on. But I had just reviewed a lab test yesterday. I had an 18 high-sensitivity C-reactive protein. As you know, if somebody's got an 18, they got something big going on. There's a lot of inflammation. And so that's a big, important one. And, you know, fish oils, aged garlic extract, changing your diet, you know, I went back to teaching people how to count carbs because I just found that even when they would say I'm going to eat rice, they'd eat eight servings.
So you think that refined carbohydrates have a pro-inflammatory effect, or high glycemic load carbohydrates can promote inflammation?
I think that excessive carbohydrate intake, whether it's refined or even whole grain. So people think that because they're eating whole grain, they can have 4 pieces or 5 pieces of bread, or they can eat 30 crackers instead of the serving size, which is 7. And the reality is the way we mill our grains today, it's very finely milled. It's going to get across the intestinal lumen. It's going to create a glycemic index burden. And so we have to be careful in general. But, yes, refined carbs and sweets, obviously, but you know the story, Dr. Hoffman. We know cupcakes aren't the best thing for us, but all I keep seeing are more cupcake shows on TV and more cupcake, you know, bakeries, you know, on the street corner, right? So it's not like it's going away.
Right. It's like, you know, people wait in lines here in New York. They show up at like 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, they're not waiting in line to get another stock of broccoli.
No way. Yeah, that's amazing. Well, so in terms of fixing that? Say you go to the doctor and you have inflammatory markers. Your C-reactive protein is 6, which is undesirable. You want to get it down under 2, even better, under 1. What are some of the nutraceutical products that would be best for addressing that?
Well, I'm real big on making sure people get adequate fish oil, but not just fish oil, maybe a blend of omega-3, 6, and 9 fatty acids just to make sure they have a nice profile of fatty acids in their body. But omega-3 fatty acids knock down inflammatory chemistry. What they do is they block your body moving down what's called the prostaglandins that trigger inflammation. So fish oils are one. Probably, in my opinion, the single most important thing, because when you think of inflammation, you think of plaque burden in your arteries. Aged garlic extract. So chiolic, for me, is probably the number one thing that I recommend, because it's got studies in humans that shows it lowers C-reactive protein. Most importantly, a fourth study that's soon to publish shows that it regresses plaque burden. And I find that to be striking, that it actually showed a regression in the last trial when they gave aged garlic. So I love aged garlic.
Is there something about the aging process that changes its properties? Because a lot of people, you know, like I marinated a steak the other night, and I just chopped about 10 garlic cloves into it. You know, I love garlic, but is it going to be a different effect? There are benefits to regular garlic, but something about aged garlic extract that's different?
Yeah, I mean, for me, regular garlic, more antibacterial. But when you age garlic, you change the physical properties of the garlic. You get rid of the volatile compounds so that your body, you know, you don't get the garlic odor. You know, when you eat 10 cloves of garlic, some people will get that garlic odor or garlic breath. Doesn't occur when you age it. All those chemicals leave, and new chemicals are created, and they're called sulfur donors. And so it helps with detoxification. It has an anti-inflammatory effect. It has an antioxidant effect. It reduces something called oxidized LDL, which is kind of the you know, when your body attacks your LDL cholesterol is what.
By the way, that's one of my 13 tests that I advocate that people get, the oxidized LDL. I'm sure you're aware of it because you wrote this book on the subject, which is
absolutely. And the other thing is, people need to look at their particle size. So you know, when you're insulin resistant, you make small LDL, and the small LDL are really good at boring into your artery and lodging between the endothelium, the inner lining, and the outer lining of your artery. And when it gets through there, like a BB going through a tennis net, now your immune system reacts to it, oxidizes it, and you plaque up. What I like about aged garlic, it's one of the few supplements that I've seen that I can increase the particle size. So the LDL gets bigger, and now it's like trying to throw a beach ball through a tennis net instead of a BB. The beach ball doesn't go through, and that's the other reason I think it's so important that people understand the value when you're looking at things that are controlling C-reactive protein, reducing oxidized LDL, and changing the particle size of your cholesterol.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at my studio computer here, and I'm looking up Chiolic, www.chiolic.com, and they actually have a product here. It's called Healthy Inflammation Response with aged garlic extract and Mariva turmeric complex. You think that's a 1-2 punch for inflammation?
That's a great 1-2 punch for inflammation. And if you got peripheral circulatory disorders, look at the one that regulates circulation and homocysteine. They've got a cardiovascular agent as well that has, you know, it has arginine in it to improve vessel pliability. Works on blood
pressure
really
well. It's called total heart health.
Total heart health, exactly. So, I mean, I think they have a couple of great formulas that really address the problems that people have today, which it's between the stress we're under and the lifestyles we're leading and the food choices we make. We're triggering inflammation. We're setting our bodies on fire. And this is something, it's got over 700 studies published on it. It's why I'm a big fan of it.
Yeah, and you'll see some of the information there at Kyolic, KYOLIC.com. And they're offering a special for our program. You can get a free sample of Kyolic if you call this number. It's 800-421-2998, 800-421-2998. Okay, so I just want to mention that you're also involved in something which I'm quite excited about. Tell us about this new project, the Lifestyle Guidance Platform that you're developing in partnership with physicians across the U.S.?
Well, you know, the biggest thing I found in practice is that we end up having to tell people, you know, we're trying to explain everything to them and help them. And the issue is that they can't remember it all. People are going to forget 80% of what we tell them within 48 hours. So I felt that it was important that we developed a platform that would give people the daily feed of the types of diets they should be eating. What are the foods you should be eating? Checking in on, did you eat it? Did you not? You know, if you ate something you shouldn't eat, you can report it. It gives you different exercises, so it can encourage you to do exercises. Mobily based application, so you can pull it up on your phone.
Yep. And then this is really where it's going towards. Really, because more and more people are interacting with their mobile devices, they're using wearables. So this is part of that new trend towards interacting with your health practitioner.
Well, absolutely, and the health practitioner can look at whatever you're reporting anytime, and that's what makes it very exciting. And the other thing we did is we put together a program where the patient answers the questions. They put in their lab values. And then between the questionnaire, the lab values, and their biometrics, it tells you where the problem is starting metabolically.
Great. Well, I want to thank you very much, and congratulations on that new effort. I'm going to look into it because it might be a boon for our patients. Jim Laval, the website is, let's give it out. It's, what is your website?
It's totally free. And then the other one is metaboliccode.com.
Thank you very much, Jim, for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.